Verse 17, there shall no man in the tabernacle meeting, there shall be no man in the tabernacle meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly. Now, notice here it says, in verse 13, he shall put incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. And so what happens is there's an altar of incense that is there in the holy place, that he would take a censer, have the coals of fire there, take some of the incense and pretend that that section there is the veil before he enter the second veil. And he has to get ready. And he got to have the blood all ready, the censer all ready, and the sprinkling of incense all ready. Just before he goes in, he puts the incense on the coal of fire, and of course the clouds will form shroom, the cloud of incense. And in that cloud of incense, he quickly goes into the most holy place, sprinkle the blood 7 times on the places where God says to sprinkle, while the cloud is still there, and then quickly move out before the cloud dies down. Because the cloud is a covering of protection in verse 13. So you can imagine, in those days, the high priest had to be pretty healthy. If he were a bit too slow, and he goes in and says, where's the place there? And knock things over, he would die. And if he doesn't move out before the covering dissipate, he will die. And if he moves in too fast before the cloud is sufficient, he will die. So you can imagine that the cloud of incense is an important covering to God's presence. And it was necessary for flesh to relate to God through the covering of the incense. Question is, what does the incense represent? It represents praise and worship. Praise and worship is like a covering over it. And that ties to Psalms 22 that we read earlier, when God inhabits the praises of His people. See, we always think about praise and worship in a very human, selfish way. We think, and the world sees God as a person with a big ego, you know, say, worship me, because I'm God. Worship me. You must praise me. You must worship me. That's a worldly way of looking at God. And I enjoy science fiction, but remind you that all science fiction is built up from a fallen state of mind. So the way we imagine people of other worlds are always horrifying. The Jabba the Hutt, the Cardassians, Klingons with a funny forehead, and all the aliens look funny except the human beings. There are other worlds. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are many other worlds. For in verse 1 and 2, by faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God. And I wouldn't be surprised if those four creatures around the throne of God came from other worlds that God has created. And other worlds that God has created are beyond. And one day when we go to heaven, we can look at those things. And we'll be surprised. Nothing like what we saw in science fiction. Beautiful beings in God. And there's all that creation that God has. And we would think that, you know, God would sit and demand praise and worship, you know, all the human perspective of God. Praise and worship. We look at it as God being an egomaniac. Saying, worship me or I hammer you. I seek people to worship me. John 4 can be seen wrongly. You know, God seeketh such to worship him because he seeketh people to praise and lift his ego up. If we understand what praise and worship is for, God's presence is so thick and so strong, so powerful, that we will need praise and worship to cover us in order to look through that praise and worship at the presence of God. That praise and worship was not so much for God, it's for us. My friend's praise and worship is not for God, it's for us. It's the only covering we have to relate through to have God's presence. You take away the covering of praise and worship, and the presence of God, if God brings His presence, will be so powerful for us to contain. That is why even heaven, the heavens that we know, need praise and, you know how much praise and worship is going on in heaven? 24 hours. Day and night, there are the four creatures around the throne. In Isaiah's vision, he saw the four creatures around the throne, and all they did is, holy, holy, holy for the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy for the Lord God Almighty. Praise and worship. Isaiah saw it in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. In the day that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw a glimpse of heaven. And he saw the throne of God. And he saw the worship going to God continually saying, holy, holy, holy for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Thousands of years later, probably 1,000 years or less, in the book of Revelations, John the Apostle had a glimpse in heaven. And you know, those four creatures are still going on. They're still going, holy, 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 for the Lord God Almighty reigns. They're still going on. And now, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, after Jesus Christ has come and gone, approximately, the four creatures up there are still saying, holy, 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 for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Is that all he said? Why? Because they're creating a canopy of praise and worship around God's throne. Because believe me, even heaven itself cannot contain His presence. Whew. Even heaven itself cannot contain His presence. You see, God is bigger than heaven. He created it. And the only way for His presence to remain constant there is for God to ordain all these systems that are around to create enough canopy there. And continually, when God saw, okay, now it's safe for me to come with that level of presence, and He comes into that presence, and it must constantly be there in order for His presence to dwell. Without that, we'll be destroyed. There's only one time when the Bible records that heaven is silent. And immediately after that, destruction fell. All the judgments started coming forth. That's the only time silence took place. Immediately after the silence, destruction flows. When we begin to see the way the Bible shows us what praise and worship is doing, then we understand that when God says, on this earth, don't talk about heaven yet, heaven is already so thick with God's presence, and you need so much praise and worship to contain God's presence. What about on this earth? So sometimes some of us pray unto God, say, God, I want Your presence now! The guardian angel would look at them, and they look at God and say, Father, they know not what they pray. They need more praise and worship, oh Father. And God the Father, in His mercy, when He looked down, and here we are crying for His presence, I want Your presence, oh God! And there's no praise and worship. And God looks down. The Father heart of God reaches out to us and says, "Oh, my son, if you only know, I would love to give you the presence more than you realize. But if God were to answer that prayer, and he said, God, I want your presence now, and he gave his presence, shoom, you will have that presence, but you will also be gone. Wiped out by that presence. God, send revival now! As if he doesn't want to send revival. And so the next time you pray, God, fill Canberra with the presence of God. Wait a minute. You better fill it with the presence and worship of God first. We know not what we pray. Because what we pray, it destroys. We need first to increase praise and worship to God. And we have a pattern in the Bible, as we showed in the last session, that the time when the presence of God was strongest in Israel was when they had a 24-hour praise and worship in the priesthood established by David. God is merciful. He wants to answer our prayer. So imagine in our life, how much of the presence of God can be alive depends on how much we worship God, how much we praise and worship Him. Not so much. Now, once and for all, from today onwards, get rid of the mental picture that comes from the world that praise and worship benefits God. It does not. God is God. He's never dependent on anything of His creation. But praise and worship benefits us. And praise and worship is a requirement that we need to have as a covering before God's level of presence and come. And according to the thickness of praise and worship that we bring forth to God, in that level can God in His mercy bring His presence. That is why now we understand in Psalms 22, why it says, God inhabits the praises of Israel. Why didn't He just inhabit them? Because He would have destroyed them. And so God caused them to praise Him and worship Him. And as they praise and they worship Him, the presence of God. And God says, oh, how wonderful. Now I can give my children a good heart. And His presence came. And some of us miss the hugs of God, the presence of God. You know why? You're not thanking Him and praising Him enough. If He hugs you, you die. And He doesn't want you to die yet because you got so much work for Him to do through you. So some of us miss the hugs of God, the presence of God. And say, God, I need the encouragement, a hug of your presence. But you have never praised God. You have never worshipped God. You have never entered His gates thanksgiving into His courts with praise. And He knows it. It's just like some of us seen what little newborn babies are. Do you know that if you press a little bit hard, it will break the bones of the little newborn baby? Right? And imagine having a newborn baby come forth out of the womb. And you clean it up. And there you are. And assuming that you're as strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so the little newborn comes and you're Terminator 2. How lovely. And you give, because you love your newborn so much, you give your newborn a crushing hug. The same hug that you give to your wife or to your loved one. And you give them a crushing hug. Oh, guess what? That'll be the end of your newborn too. It can't take your strength. God would love to put more presence into our life. But He needs that canopy of praise and worship to protect us from the power of His presence. That is why God is calling His people to praise and to worship. Energy force that God has for His people. We are people of praise, a people of worship in God. From now forward, renew our heart and mind to the praise and the worship of God. And you analyze it. When you increase praise and worship in your life, you notice an increase in His presence.
And if you have that 24 hours, you have the presence 24 hours. Let's become worshippers of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy upon our lives. We ask, O Father God, that You continue to teach us the dimension of praise and worship. We understand this one truth deeply today, Lord. That praise and worship is not for You, but it's for us. And when we worship You, Father, it is because we are creating the canopy of incense so that You can come and dwell in our midst. And Father, we believe that the last call of the church is to worship, just as His first call is. Because before Jesus comes again, Ephesians 1, 2 and 3 will be fulfilled. When the fullness of God will inhabit the church of Jesus Christ. And we know the only way to bring that about is to increase praise and worship in our lives. And we know, Lord, praise and worship will continue to increase in Your people, in Your church. And in these last days, You're calling Your people to praise You and to worship You. Not just in church, but every day in their lives. And You're calling us to establish, Lord, all over the world, 24-hour worship to You. Because You're getting ready. You're getting Your church ready for Your presence. For the day will come when Your presence will be full among Your people. And even now, You're preparing us by calling Your people to learn to establish 24-hour praise and worship. For that day will come. And we want to be obedient to bring that forth. For it is a requirement, O God, of Your presence. We thank You, Father God. We bless You. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rise together.
Praise to You. Oh,
Let's make a covenant together to praise and worship God. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father God, this day we covenant to be a people of praise, a people of worship. We will worship you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. We'll learn to worship you in our devotional time. We'll learn to take time from our work to worship you. We'll learn to worship you in the night time. Like David, who said 7 times a day, do we worship you. Oh God, we want to worship you. And we covenant to worship you. So take not away from us your presence, but let it increase in our life evermore. We covenant